I think that was a great worship service. And as many of you know, our trip was just concluded, and we returned last night around 9 o'clock at night. For myself, Lucas, and Hollis, we were there for 10 days. For the mission team that joined us, they were there for 7 days. And so we did a great, we had a great opportunity and a great mission trip down there in Hidalgo, in the state of Michoacán, Mexico. And so today I want to share with you a little bit about that trip and some of the lessons that we learned. This is very important for our church. For the last 3 years, we were once heavily involved in Honduras, but I felt like we were exiting that as our main focus. And I think that every church, God has this, you know, plan that he laid out in Matthew chapter 28, to start in your city, and then your region, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And for us, we've been looking for that home and praying for an opportunity. And it really feels like that Hidalgo is going to be that place for us. For those of you that are relatively new to our church, our Hispanic community meets at 1:30 here every Sunday afternoon, and Pastor Carlos and Pastor Denora lead that congregation. The church that we were visiting and serving this week in Mexico is Pastor Carlos and Denora's home church. The pastor is Pastor Rafael, is Denora's father, and so that's our linkage to this church. We were the first American church to ever serve their church in this capacity, and Pastor Rafael is the founding pastor there. A couple of interesting notes that will be important for you to understand the context of our trip. Pastor Rafael founded this church almost 30 years ago, and when he did so, it was the first evangelical church in the city of Hidalgo. And in Mexico, it's a little bit different than America as far as politics and church. Much like the Roman Catholic Church of Italy and the Church of England back several centuries ago, the church and the state are still very much married together. And so they form a power structure, a political structure. And so whenever Pastor Rafael went to plant this church, because it was the first evangelical church, the Catholics in their city threatened to kill them if they continued to try to start this church. So very different in America, obviously. I don't think I was threatened to be killed as I started this church in Frisco, Texas. And so it came at a little bit higher threat and a little bit more danger for him to do so. And now there they are 30 years later, and there's some 15 churches under their umbrella and 7 campuses of Amistad reaching out to the suburban area of Hidalgo, which these suburban areas are villages, very impoverished places. And so as we were going down there, this has kind of been our vision all along for what we're going to do here, so we can get to see in a microcosm what it looks like in our future as we desire to plant other campuses in our region. And so to come alongside and to serve their church was a great opportunity. The title of this morning's message is Going and Giving. These are the two components that make up the way that church is supposed to work, the way that we spread the gospel to the othermost parts of the earth. And in a moment, I'm going to introduce a couple of our guys that went on the trip. They were very gracious to us, and I would say trusting, because they let our guys go out and preach to their campuses on Wednesday night. And for several of our guys, this was the first time they had ever preached to a congregation. So a little bit intense. I promise you, if you go on our trip, we will not make you go preach a sermon at a church. I don't want you to feel like, oh man, if I go, they're gonna put me on the stage, okay? So these guys are disciples of our church, and they had some great experiences, and I thought it'd be good for you to hear some of those. So it really feels like God is opening up a door of opportunity. And in the coming next year, and the years after, we're probably going to expand our mission reach to Hidalgo and to the campuses that they're building to help their outreach there as our foreign missions arm of Genesis Metro. So as you hear the stories today, maybe God would inspire you to step outside of your comfort zone and to go outside of these walls and even outside of our borders and go on a mission trip for God. I promise you that every person, we had 21 people, I think, that went on our trip, and they will tell you to a person, it was a life-changing experience. And so I wanted you to hear from some of them, and then I'll share a brief message with you this morning. I'm going to ask David Anderson, would you guys welcome him? And then after he speaks, Brother Rick Molina is going to come up here in just a moment. So, David, the stage is yours, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Never have I had my photo taken so much, okay, with people standing on chairs saying, Goliath, Goliath. I said, no, don't confuse me with Goliath. My name is David. What a wonderful time it was. I went to San Bartolo, and I was there with the congregation. This church started in February of this year, and there was about 45 people there. I teached a message on hope and miracles. And miracles don't happen when you're comfortable, okay? And miracles don't happen the way that you expect them. After I shared the message, this woman came forward to us, and she shared her miracle. She had been arrested 3 months earlier for forgery and for piracy and was spending time in a federal prison. And for no reason at all, she couldn't think of any reason at all, she was released at 3 o'clock that morning without shoes, with just the clothes that she was wearing. She was walking home and she heard the music in the church. So she walked in and she sat down in the back and was just mesmerized by the story and by the message. So she came and told me afterwards of how uncomfortable it was in prison. And she told me how a miracle was happening in her life just because how she was there and why she was there. And so we shared and we told her about what was happening the rest of the week. Well, Friday night, I saw her at the marriage seminar with her boyfriend. Okay, and they wanted to get married, and they wanted to do it right. And it was just so beautiful to see. And for me to share the message, and then to invite them, and then for them to show up, okay, isn't that just amazing? Just amazing. God put a message on my heart, a verse on my heart, Romans 1:12, which reads, "Let me encourage you. I am eager to encourage. That is, I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Well, by me giving and by me encouraging, I was encouraged back by them. It was just so awesome. And to see them there on Wednesday night, it just reminded me that the reasons for missions, you know, as our message is today, is we either go or we send. And so I want to thank the church, thank the congregation, for sending me out to San Bartolo, and I want to thank my wife for her support. So now I'd like to give the stage here to Rick.
Thanks, David. On my mission trip, I was asked to translate, and I thought, okay, I can do that. I speak Spanish. I grew up as a kid speaking Spanish, and I thought it'd be fun and easy. And when we landed in Michoacan and went to Hidalgo, I started translating right away, and it seemed pretty good. You know, I was translating, introducing, hola, ¿cómo estás? But then, the night of the services, the first night of the services, this microphone got handed to me, and things changed, okay? I realized I'm going to be up on a stage, and I'm going to be, in a way, preaching to these people. So as Tim got started, I quickly realized, I don't have the vocabulary to translate, and I'm supposed to be the guy helping Tim send that message to the people. And I had a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. Things got worse. After Tim, Pastor Raphael stepped up to say a few words. Now, Pastor Raphael, when he says a few words, he actually means like another sermon. I know. Yeah, I know. And his vocabulary, I quickly realized his Spanish vocabulary was someone that has a PhD. I think he actually does have one. And my Spanish is somewhere around an eighth grader. So at the end of it, I muddled my way through, and at the end of it, I was like, man, I can't do this. What am I doing? And the next opportunity came up on Thursday night, and I'm sitting there with my brother Ben B, and I'm telling him, man, I don't know I want to do this. We need to look for another translator. And he said, let me pray over you. So he did. And this is what he prayed for me. He said, he asked the Father to use me, to speak through me. It doesn't matter which language that you're speaking in, that it just be transmitted to the people, that we be used as instruments. And I received that prayer. And that night, when I stepped up there with Pastor Raphael and his collegiate Spanish, right? This is me and Ben praying up there. And so that night, I was connected to Pastor Rafael. I heard the word, I heard his words, I listened to those words, and I was translating them all at the same time. It was powerful, and I'm forever blessed for it. And I want to thank Ben for looking out for a brother in the brotherhood and praying for him. A little side note on that one. That one's for free, Tim. So, what I learned here is that when you focus on yourself, you're not going to do those things. But when you focus on the Lord, anything is possible. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Some of you out there have a calling on you. God may be calling you for something. I don't know what that is. And you're saying to yourself, man, I don't have the time. Man, I don't have the skills. Man, I don't have the money. How do I do this? What's the first step? Well, today I just wanted to encourage you guys that what I found out is that if you just let go of that thing, let go of yourself and look to God, he will strengthen you and you will do great things for his kingdom. Thank you. I'll pass it over to Pastor Tim.
Brother Rick's got jokes today. Oh, man, we had a great, great time. Today I want to talk with you out of Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 briefly this morning. And I want you to think about, there's a topic in MMA, martial arts, which is kind of some of the things that I like to watch. I wish I was good at those things. But there's a term called kinetic linking. And kinetic linking is, if you can take a strike, whether it be a kick or a punch, and you can link all of the joints and all the muscles together, the impact is greater if you have a high level of kinetic linking. And a punch, many people think, starts from the shoulder and extends out through the arm. But really, it starts with your feet. And if you have your feet right, and if you have your legs positioned correctly, and the torque from your hips, and you move it all the way through your torso, and then extend it out, the ability to deliver a blow is incredible compared to a person who's just throwing a punch with their arms. As we look at this verse, I think you'll see that there's a very systematic process that God goes through of linking things together to allow an impact for his kingdom. And that you are part of the process. If you name the name of Christ and you're a part of his body, that you are supposed to be a part of this process. And this morning, I'm going to encourage you through two different steps or foundational stones, if you will, how you can be involved in the process. So read this verse with me. It says, but how can they call on him whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this passage and understand the simplicity of the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to understand the simplicity of the function of the church. There's people out there that are lost. There's people out there that are looking, and they're in darkness. They're in sin, and they're condemned. And the church has this responsibility. It says, how are they ever going to believe unless someone tells them? And how is someone going to tell them unless someone sends them? So this morning, I want you to think about that process. Not everyone is going to be able to go. I get that. Whenever we think about stage of life, whenever we think about work schedules and trying to time it up, all those types of things, it's difficult to be in the going crowd. But we can all be in the giving crowd. God makes sure that he blesses all of his children that put him first with enough means to be a part of the giving process. So those are the two things I want to speak to you about this morning, is being a part of either giving or going or both. I want you to think for just a moment before we get into those two items about these people that Rick spoke about and that David spoke about. Here was this woman. I mean, whenever you think about the linking chain of God reaching out to a lost and dying world, it should blow your mind. I mean, just the fact that you're sitting in the seat this morning that you're sitting in. I mean, if you just try to wrap your mind around the last 7,000 years of human history, of all the things that had to happen for you to be sitting in a refurbished plumbing warehouse that you didn't even know existed, because it didn't exist till 4 years ago when we refurbished it, and now we're worshiping God and sending out mission teams from a plumbing supply warehouse. That's crazy. And then this woman was sitting in prison at 3 a.m. in the morning. And then at 7 o'clock at night, she's walking in a village in the middle of nowhere in Mexico, and hears the sound of music playing, stumbles in, and hears from a guy who leads the rehab program here at Genesis Metro called Celebrate Recovery, whom himself has been transformed by the process. And this woman needs transformation, and God moves a man all the way from Frisco to Michoacan to a village outside of Hidalgo to hear this message, and her life has changed forever. Now you tell me, is that amazing, the kinetic linking that God has in that process? So as you kind of like try to drink that in this morning, let that just kind of waft over you this morning. And then there's two components. It says that how can they preach unless they are sent? In order that for people to be sent, there has to be some structure, some body that is able to give the resources necessary. I want you to think about in your life, I bet everyone in here has a personal experience where you were sent into a meeting unprepared, where you didn't have all the information, or you were given a task and you didn't have all the resources you needed. And if you ever walk into a meeting and you're sitting there and you're presenting, and then it's time for people to ask questions, and you haven't been given all the information, and someone inevitably will nail you, won't they? They will nail you with that one question. You have no idea because someone didn't tell you. And so they ask you a question, and you just sit there, right? And like deer in the headlights, and you fumble around for an answer. And so this morning, I want you to think about that we give so that people are equipped. And it's not just money. It's time, energy, money, and prayers. That's how we give as a church body so that people can go. I mean, if there's no greater evidence of this, then we asked several weeks ago, just like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we said we'd like 50 families in our church body to give $100 a family so that we could cover construction costs, some VBS expenses that we were doing there in Hidalgo, which is a children's outreach program. And then also if some people weren't able to raise enough money on their own for their trip, we could offset their costs. And so that's what we ask of our congregation. In true Genesis Metro fashion, you guys have almost doubled what we ask you to give. I think the last time I checked, we still have money coming in for the trip that already happened. And so we've raised like $8,400, $8,600, something like that. So let's give the people that gave a round of applause and say thank you for giving. And more than even the fact that people gave above their tithe to give to this offering to help the people of Michoacan and the people of Hidalgo and the cities that were surrounding, it's giving your prayers. You know, sometimes I think we might ask ourselves, and I've heard people for the last, 25 years of preaching and ministering in churches, oftentimes you feel like is my prayer significant? Like, does giving my prayer really matter in the grander scheme of things? Now, ask yourself, just between the two testimonies that you heard, and every person that went on our trip could stand up here and give a story about the things that happened. Do you really believe that all those things were possible without prayer moving ahead of people? I promise you that God allows blessings and favor. Whenever our prayers rise up to Him on behalf of His kingdom, He prepares the way, and then we walk in the victory that He's already provided. When I surveyed the people, because different groups met with different sets of children, I know that we had at least 34 saved in our VBS program, and then they asked me to preach to the adults that were coming for social services, clothes, dental, and medical on the last day. And I didn't ask them to raise their hand because I didn't want to, make it feel uncomfortable for them. But there's probably about 80 people there, 70% of which I was told were not believers. And in America, whenever you say like, okay, if anybody would like to receive Christ, I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, we all kind of, I don't know, it's like an unwritten rule. We all pray to ourselves. Well, I said, if you'd like to accept Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer and you can pray. Well, all of a sudden, like these people started praying out loud. And so there was at least 30 or 40 of the 80 people that were there that accepted Christ. So of the ones we know of, some 85 people accepted Christ last week. And that was all because your giving, your prayers, your support, your encouragement, there were spouses that, like, I know one guy showed up to the airport last night, and this is kind of one of those funny, great lessons. He had two small children in his arms, and he was handing them back to the wife, and he was like, okay, I did single dad for a week. I don't know if I could do much more of this. But all the spouses made a sacrifice, right, in order to make it possible. Sometimes for Carrie and I, we went as a couple, and several couples went, and that meant that other people had to come and watch our kids. And so it took people giving their time, their energy, their money, and their prayers on this end to allow the people to go. And together, that's what makes the kingdom work, is that giving and going work hand in hand to reach the world. So lives have literally been changed for all of eternity, because this church was willing to give. I wish you would think about that this morning, that whenever it comes to initiating the giving process, that the onus is on the church. You see, the lost people that are outside these walls, that are outside our borders of our nation, that are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, God does not hold them accountable to initiate the conversation. And so if you even look at that from a human perspective and then elevate it one level to the God perspective, was God waiting on you to look for him? Was God waiting on you to love him first? Was God waiting on you to just have an epiphany one day that you need Jesus Christ? No. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says that they hid themselves and they covered themselves. And here we are thousands of years later, and what is man doing today with their sin? They hide themselves, and they think that they can cover themselves in the presence of God. And who is initiating the conversation? God. God is willing to give, and God is willing to go. And so whenever we join him in that process, his son gave up his life at the cross so that he could save us from our sins. He was willing to go from heaven to earth in order to reach out to us before we ever even thought about reaching out to him. So whenever we join him in the process, all we're doing is reciprocating what he himself has already done for us. It's the very least we can do in our lives. The most important thing that we can do in our lives is not gather more money and try to gather more trophies to put on the mantle. The greatest thing we can be a part of is giving and going and seeing lost people come to know Jesus Christ. And the lost people that we reached, the great thing about the process and the structure that's down there is that we don't just go in and say, raise your hand if you want to get saved. Okay, pray this prayer. And then we leave them and they have no one there to help them. In every city that we went to, there was a church, and we can push them right into a local church to encourage their faith and to disciple them, which is what Genesis Metro does for the city of Frisco, Texas. And so that's the giving component. And then lastly, I want to focus on the going component. It says, how can they hear and how can they preach unless they're sent? And it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. This woman that David spoke about a moment ago, do you think that she realizes what the gospel of good things is? Do you think that she now knows that? That she stumbled into a church and a big giant gringo that they're calling Goliath is talking about hope and miracles, and you just got out of prison inexplicably this morning and stumbled into a church in the middle of a village in Mexico? I mean, I think that she was pretty clear on the fact that the gospel brings good things. For these children that accepted Christ, we were the first team to ever serve this church in Hidalgo. And so no American church had ever come down there and worked with the largest church that's in Hidalgo to reach out to their community. And here were all these, you know, gringos running around, sharing the gospel, sharing encouragement, sharing an uplifting word. And here are these kids that are just, I mean, literally like sponges, welcoming a hug and a loving word, or someone who's willing to play with them. And we were able to provide that. Do you think that they understand with greater clarity the gospel of good things? I was kind of thinking about the process when it was Wednesday night and it was my turn to go out to one of the village churches. They took me up into these mountains in this place called Ocampo, which is a secondary city to the region of Hidalgo. And incidentally, it's also the monarch sanctuary. So the monarch butterfly apparently has built-in GPS, which is amazing. Another God-sized thing. They fly from Canada all the way down to this little mountain in Mexico. It's by the millions. Like, how do they know? Because God told them, I guess. And so here I was situated in this little village, this little city in the mountains, and the church that I preached in was the size of a boxcar. Like, literally, if you took a boxcar and put people inside of it, that's what this church looked like. There was no windows. There was one door at the back. I was standing at the front. A fire broke out. I'm dead. Okay, that's just as simple as it is. And of course, they got drums and speakers inside this little boxcar, and there's about 30 people that are inside there, and they're worshiping. And you know, one of the things about almost every Latin American congregation I've been in is, man, their worship is so much more free. They're less consideration about the people around them, and oh my gosh, do I sound good or not? And so they're bringing it, man. They're bringing it full force in this boxcar, and I'm thinking, man, this is like God's affirmation. That's the great thing. If you say yes to God, as David and as Rick spoke about a moment ago, the opportunities are endless. When I was 16 years old and I surrendered my life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you think in a million years that I was thinking about, you know what, Tim, when you're 40, you're going to be in the mountains of Mexico in a boxcar church with 30 people who don't speak a word of English, and you're going to be preaching the gospel of good things. How that Jesus Christ is able to save you, redeem you, and give you a calling and a purpose that is bigger than this life. Do you think in a million years I could have imagined that when I said yes at 16? The answer is absolutely not. And God spoke to me in the quietness of the moment. He said, Tim, this is your dream. This is your promise coming to fulfillment because you said yes. The encouragement that I want to give you this morning is that when you say yes to God concerning giving and going, the opportunities are endless. The doors that right now you can't even conceive of in your mind will open up as you make it about His kingdom and not about your kingdom. Even Genesis Metro, we can't ever resign ourselves to believe that our church exists for us. Like, how can we take our little kingdom and how can we make it bigger? How can we move to a bigger facility? How can we get a bigger parking lot? How can we add more programs and, you know, just increase the kingdom of Genesis Metro? I'm going to tell you, that's not what I'm about. That's not what our leadership is about. Our goal is to build the kingdom of God, whether that's in Michoacan, whether it's in Honduras, wherever God might open up doors. And if that makes our net here positive or negative, that really doesn't matter to me. Because I know the principle that when I put the kingdom of God first, He will always expand our territory here because He's going to provide the resources we need to reach the world. So this morning, I hope that you would take this word and you would ask yourself, man, am I in the giving? Am I in the going? Am I in both? Or am I just sitting on the sidelines, missing out on the opportunities that God has already ordained beforehand that I should walk in? And maybe this morning you could just say, you know what, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what the doors are, but I'm willing. And God, man, He will take a willing heart that says, God, I'm willing to give or I'm willing to go, whatever you want me to do. And a year from now, when we give more opportunities to return to Hidalgo and the cities around there, maybe He would even call you to go on a trip like that. I just hope that you would open up your heart this morning and realize that if someone didn't give and if someone didn't go, somewhere along the way in your life, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. All the people throughout the years, for 2,000 years, the church has been in existence, and there's been people that have been willing to give and go. And as a result, your life has been changed. As a result, you're sitting in here this morning. It would be incredibly selfish for us to take all that has been given to us and all that has been invested in us and that we hoard it for ourselves. The beauty of the church is that you take what God has given you and you give it away. And this morning, I hope that you would consider that you would consider joining our church in the giving and going process so that we can take light to people that are in darkness and we can take hope to people that are in despair. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to have a time to reflect and to receive God's word. And our band is going to lead us in a time of worship. And I hope that during this song that you would just receive what God has this morning. That you would say, God, I'm inspired by these stories. And I don't want to leave here just inspired. I want to receive it into my life, down into the very core of the fabric of my being. God, I want to be a part of the process. I want to see lives changed as a result of the gospel of good things. This morning, if you would join us in worship and saying yes to God, Yes, I'm available, God. I'm available with my stuff. I'm available with my time. I'm available with my energy. I'm available with my prayers. Would you guys sing with us?